Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vinny B. We have racing, and more racing. So where do we start? Well, the NHRA was out at the Midwest Nationals at the track formerly known as Gateway. IndyCar wrapped up their season with the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. So, being this was a season wrap-up and they crowned the championship, let's see how they finished in the race, of course. Then I'll give you the final point standings. So here we go. Now we're on a 1.968 mile streets of Long Beach. Old school Grand Prix, not on a predetermined the road course enclosed, but out on the streets of the town. Anybody remembers watching Speed Racer? You know, they were always out on the roads doing all that. But anyway, here's how the results went. Colton Herta took the checkered flag. Joseph Newgarden came home second. Scotty Dixon third. Alex Palou fourth. Simone Pagenaud fifth. Alexander Rossi sixth. Jack Harvey seventh. Sebastian Bourdais eighth. Takuma Sato ninth. And Will Power rounds out your top 10. The average speed for the winner, the way they got it here, not average speed. Average speed for the winner is 91.935 miles per hour. The race took an hour and 49 minutes and 10 seconds. I'm not getting into the below seconds, into the microseconds, or nanoseconds for that matter. Margin of victory, 0.588 of a second, so less than a little more than half a second, which is close for an IndyCar race, usually either seconds apart. Four cautions for 13 laps. Unlike NASCAR, no stage-ending cautions. These are all incident cautions. Seven lead changes amongst seven drivers. So that's a pretty good amount of lead changes as well for an IndyCar race. Usually they don't have anything like that. Well, after the race, Alex Palou was crowned the NTT IndyCar Series champion. Joseph Newgarden was second. He was 38 points behind. They don't get as many points in per event. I mean, they get enough, but it's not like you get a ton of points per position and then whoever has the most. Again, no playoffs, just you start at the beginning of the season, you accrue points, you wind up on top at the end of the season, you're the champ. Pato O'Ward, third. Scotty Dixon, fourth. Colton Herta, your race winner, is fifth. Erickson sixth, Graham Rahal seventh, Simone Pagenaud eighth, Will Power ninth, and Alexander Rossi rounds out the top 10 in points. So congratulations to Colton Herta for winning the race and Alex Palou for taking the IndyCar crown. Other motorsports still in action, of course, all in their playoff series, all three NASCAR series. And the NHRA said every racing series in action was in action. So, they already got the 2022 schedule up. So, obviously, there's no next race this year. I remember when the championship auto racing teams or kart series and IRL, the Indy Racing League, started by Tony George, which split from kart, and for the very reason that IRL was mainly strictly ovals and kart was, you know, road courses with maybe an oval here and there, but. And then I guess nobody was drawing fans. So they rejoined each other, and it wound up more like kart. But now they're just called the IndyCar series. Anyway, Alex Palou drove for Chip Ganassi Racing, who let his team go in NASCAR. So I'm kind of curious if he's stepping away from motorsports altogether. I mean, you know, these guys are old. I mean, I'm old. They're older than me. Joseph Newgarden is with Team Penske. And third place in the points, Pato Award, Arrow McLaren. So, I think the only one using a Chevy engine would be, oh, Newgarden and Award. The winning team is a Honda-powered. Vehicle. And, oh, look. I'm showing a picture of Palou with his, you know, in his racing suit, Carvana. You know who's been driving Carvana for a while? As a matter of fact, let's go back to that. Was he in this race? Yes, he was. Jimmy Johnson. Wound up 17th, started 27th. So he did gain some spots. He's just getting the hang of this IndyCar stuff. I think he wants to win the Indy 500. That's why he's getting used to the feel of those cars and all these preliminaries. I'm not saying run the Indy 500. I'm saying win the Indy 500. He has won the Brickyard, so you can't fault him for that. He has won, he's won Daytona. I mean, the biggest races in the world, the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500. So, I don't know what the biggest race in NHRA is. I think everybody I see talks about the U.S. Nationals at Indianapolis. Well, speaking of... the NHRA. Let's check out how they did this past weekend. If you want to give me a call, you know you can. I'll give you the phone number. It's 646-649-1899. So feel free. NHRA Midwest Nationals at the Worldwide Technology Raceway at 700 Raceway Boulevard. They got their own road, Madison, Wisconsin, Illinois. That's a right across from. St. Louis across the river, so. That's where NASCAR runs Chicago. That's where they run. Anyway, let's check the ladders. Came down to Steve Torrance and Mike Salinas. Brittany Force was your number two qualifier. Mike Salinas was your number one qualifier. So Salinas had Kyle Wurtzel in round one. Pretty close there, except the reaction time, because one was 384 with a 3, that was Salinas, and Wurtzel was 384 with a 7. So you're talking 4/1000ths of an inch, of a second faster in the ET end. But you're all looking at 1/100th of a second quicker on the reaction time. So that made the gap even bigger. So it was 069 to 080. But Salinas won on both sides. And up against round two against Tripp Tatum. I was watching that. And Tatum jumped the light by a lot. A minus 142 to Salinas is 042, 373 to 380, but it didn't matter when you red light off the get-go by a long time. I mean, it's just like Salinas at an 042, believe it or not, was a pretty quick reaction. But by that time, Tatum, I think, was down past the 60-foot mark, and I'm sure Salinas could see that glowing red light. But anyway, he moves on to the semis, facing Leah Pruitt. Pruitt, soon to be Stewart, up against Clay Milliken in round one, and then Billy Torrance in round two. So she beat a couple of competitors that are in the countdown with her to make it to the semis. And up against Salinas, 038 for Salinas, 090 for Pruitt at the big gap there, and then 371, a good run for Salinas. Pruitt had problems with taking 20 seconds to do 1,000 feet. You know it, something happened with the motor. Steve Torrance, on the other hand, number three qualifier, up against Sean Langdon, the number 14 qualifier. So Torrance, 056. Langdon with an 033. That's a pretty good jump there. But Torrance is 366 with a 9. Langdon with his 376 with a 2. Wasn't quick enough to get to the finish line first. So Torrance up against Antron Brown, who went against Spencer Massey in round one. 044, Antron. 050 for Torrance. 1/100th of a second is usually a pretty good bout. But when Torrance with a 370 with a 9, Antron with a 444 with a 5, it's a little too big of a gap to try to make up. So Torrance up against Josh Hart, who in the semis. Hart was up against Justin Ashley in round one, and then Brittany Force in round two. I think Brittany would have got him, but the hole shot did Brittany in. His 061 and her 092 was the difference, because his 379 wasn't as fast as her 376, but that 300th of a second jump brought the final, brought the run down to that 1/4/1,000th of a second advantage that Hart had over Brittany. So he barely beat her, but it was the whole shot that did it. So up against the possible defending champ in the division, Hart with an 0.81, Torrance with an 0.84. We're close there, but 2/100ths of a second, and two-tenths of a second. That's a big difference. Torrance with a 3.76, Hart with a 3.96. So two-tenths, that's a big gap on the drag strip. Sends Torrance into the finals against Mike Salinas. This one, I'm trying to do the math on this one. Okay. Mike Salinas, 0-11. On a Top Fuel Nitro car, Nitro Dragster, an 0-11 has to be listed as the best reaction time of the elimination rounds. Torrance with a 1.42. We're talking 13/100ths of a second. Slower than Salinas' 1/100th of a second. But Torrance with a 3.73. With a 6. Was quicker, even when you add that 1/100th of a one, we'll say 0.14 seconds onto the Torrance's ET time, which would be 3.87, is still quicker than Mike Salinas' 3.99. Man, Mike, if you could have just done what you did in the first few rounds, you would have taken that Wally. But wasn't enough. Torrance gets the win. Salinas winds up second. Brittany Force, low ET, 3.64 with a 1. Is that in round one or round two? Round one. She needed that in round two. Best reaction time was that final round with an 0.11 for Salinas. And at top speed, Leah Pruitt. Into the funny cars. Finals down to Bob Tasca and Matt Hagen. Hagen, the number one qualifier, had no opposition in round one. Tasca was the number six qualifier. Let's see how they did. I will start with Tasca. Up against Alexis DeJoria in round one. Her 0.58 was half a tenth faster than his 1.07, but his 3.92 was made up for the 4.50 that DeJoria had, so obviously some tractional issues. Then up against Bob Bodie in round two. Tasca's 0.72 with a 3.95 was quicker on both ends. Bodie's 1.19 and then his 4.43. Up against John Force in the semis. Well, John Force, in round one, against teammate, company president and all that, Robert Height, 0.13 for Height, 0.58 for Force, but something happened where Robert Height just, he didn't get down the track, he coasted, John Force had a 397, obviously taking the win, going up against Ron Capps. And this was a funny one. When they do the staging, Ron Capps was caught, got distracted and was caught napping at the lights, because I think you get the one light, and then the blue light to show you're a pre-stage, and then the second light shows your stage, which then triggers the tree to go. But John Force did something where he got the one light, and he got the second light, but he bumped it to make the first light blink, and that caught Ron Capps napping. So John Force was 039, Ronnie Capps 0.12, and what happened was Ronnie Capps had a 92 with a 9, John Force with a 392 with a 9, and John Force was 397. But that nap, that glitch off the tree by Capps cost him the event, the race, the run. So even though John Force was 5/100 of a second slower, he crossed the line barely ahead of Capps to take the whole shot win. But I guess karma came to pass when he went up against Tasca. 0.53 for Force, not bad. 0.77 for Tasca. 0.024 difference. But when it came down to it, Tasca with a 4.3. John Force had traction issues with a 6.8. Tasca moves on. Let's go find Matt Hagen. Number one qualifier, unopposed in round one. 249 off the light, 99.99. So he really took it easy. Up against J.R. Todd in round two, 065 for Hagen, 078 for Todd, 389 with a 4, 457 with a 1 for Todd. Hagen, no problem. One on both ends. Been up against Cruz Pedregon. Now, this one was close. Off the light. 083 for Cruz, 086 for Hagen. And this was a close at the finish, too, but Hagen outlasted him. 392 with a 2, and Pedregon 395 with a 4, so the 3/1000s, the 3/100s of a second was the big difference. So into the finals we go. This was Matt Hagen all the way, 047 with a 393. Tasca with an 059 with a 396. Hagen hands down from the get-go. Lowy T, Ronnie Capps, 385 with a 4. Best reaction time, 013, Robert Height. Top speed, Matt Hagen. On to the pro stock. Comes down to Erica Enders and Dallas Glenn. Let's see where we go. Number one qualifier, Greg Anderson. He's leading the points, so he needs to hold on to that. He did have a pretty good size lead. We'll see how it goes. Erica Enders. Where you at, Erica? Number five qualifier. Dallas Glenn was number three qualifier. So we'll follow Glenn to the finish, to the finals, up against Christian Quadra, 026 for Glenn, 654. Quadra faulting, -102 to 66. And up against Roger Brogdon in round two. Glenn, 042, 658 for Glenn, and a 658. Roger Brogdon, 058 with a 662 with a 7. And Glenn up against Chris McGahey. McGahey, 093 minus red light. Just took it easy going down the track. 035 for Glenn, 660 with a 9. Takes the wind light. You got to give it your best to go for lane choice. Erica Enders, so up against Bo Butner in round one, 068 to 074. But Butner with a 660 and Erica with a 655. That made up for the 1/100th of a second disadvantage off the light she had. Then up against Aaron Stanfield in round two. So 045 for Stanfield, 043 for Enders, close there. 659 for Stanfield, 657 for Erica. Move her into the semis. Then up against Mason McGahey, who took out Greg Anderson in round two. 017 for McGahey, 034 for Erica. Erica's usually pretty good on those launches. Maybe she's figuring something out. Because McGahey 663, Erica with a 659 takes the wind light there. Then up against Dallas Glenn. Now this one was won by a hair. And 001 for Glenn. 010 for Erica. Glenn off the light. .658 with a 3 for Glenn. .657 with a 2 for Erica. So Erica, the 001 kind of made it to .658 with a 4, if you want to add the time together from the reaction. Erica with the 01 made it .658 with a 2. So actually, it's weird how it works out, but she was able to get to the finish line by 2/1000ths of a second ahead of Dallas Glenn, giving her the Wally. Lowy T, 653 with a 2 in round one. Greg Anderson. Best reaction time, 001 by Dallas Glenn in the final round. And top speed, Chris McGahey, 210.34. Let's go to the bikes. The bikes were off this week. That's weird that they ran playoffs in the bike. So, let's check out the standings. Steve Torrance leads Brittany Force by 36 points. Man, if she could have got a couple of rounds in, that would have helped. And it's down to the two of them. Because Billy Torrance in third is a whopping 126 points behind his son and 90 points behind Brittany. There's a battle between third and fourth. Mike Salinas, oh, wait, and fifth. Justin Ashley, they could be battling it out for the third spot. But it's the championship's going to come down to Brittany and Torrance. Her best move would be to face him in round one and beat him and then go on to win. And that would make up that difference. So you got Torrance, Brittany, Forrest, Billy Torrance, Mike Salinas, Justin Ashley in fifth, Leah Pruitt sixth, Antron Brown in the seventh spot, eighth Sean Langdon, Quay Milliken in ninth, and Doug Kalita. Your final countdown player. In the funny car division, Matt Hagen has a 59-point lead over Ron Capps. A 72-point lead over third place John Force. And Cruz Pedregon is in fourth. He's 99 back, so I'd say it's going to be between Caps and Hagen, teammates, of course. But it might be too much ground to make up. It's got to be one of those scenarios, face each other in round one. Caps will have to face Hagen in round one and then go on to win the event. John Force, I think he might be on the outside looking in, so Hagen might have this one locked up. Pro stock. Greg Anderson leads. Erica Enders by 17 points. Come on, girl. You know I'm pulling for you. Wants you to get that fifth one. You know, I got to find out championships. I mean, she's got four. John Force has like 15 as a driver and several more as an owner, but I don't count the owner points. But as far as the ladies go, I think obviously she broke the tie between Angel Sampe and Shirley Muldowney. Brittany Force has one looking for her second. It'd be a nice feather, so. Anyway, 17 points between one and two. Kyle Koretsky in third. He's 97 back. Dallas Glenn in fourth. He's 116 back. Aaron Stanfield in fifth. Troy Coughlin in sixth. Mason McGahey seventh. Eighth, Chris McGahey. The McGaheys together there. Ninth, Matt Hartford. And 10th, Derek Kramer. Somehow they got Kenny Delco in there as well, but I don't see how. He's in 11th, and he's 32 points behind Derek Kramer. But this year's championship is coming down to two drivers, Greg Anderson and Erica Enders. And it's going to come down to, we got 19 of 23. So we have four to go. Four events to go. Can she pull this one out? I'd love to see it. But we'll just have to wait and see. Next event will be... computer acting slow. I hate that. There we go. October 7th. So they'll get a week off when they head out to the Stampede of Speed, the Texas. Oh, that's the 2nd through 10th. They're having an event for most of the week. So there'll be 7th through the 10th, the 10th being final eliminations. So that's 2 weeks, and we'll have Pro Stock Motorcycle back in action. And then Thunder Valley Nationals, the Pro Stock will have off, but Pro Stock Motorcycle. And then the Vegas will be everybody, and then they'll round them out. That's why they're showing seven in the countdown. Top Fuel and Funny Car in all the set. So they got seven to win a championship. And Pro Stock and Pro Stock Motorcycle have six, only... Why are they giving Pro Stock off Bristol? But I don't know. Who knows why the NHRA did it schedule like they did it. But anyway, Texas is up next on the 10th. That's the home track for Erica, so she usually does pretty good there. So we'll see if she can dump Anderson down a spot. So she's got one and two and three races to do it. 17 points you can make up in three races. All righty. Out in Las Vegas, all three NASCAR Touring Series. Christian Eckes takes the checkered flag. Ben Rhodes, second. Matt Crafton, third. Johnny Sauter, fourth. I think they're all on the same team. So sweeping your top four there, or was that last week? Anyway, that was last week. But I think Ben Rhodes, Eckes, and Crafton all drive for the same people. Johnny Sauter, fourth. Todd Gilliland, fifth. Stuart Friesen, sixth. Grant Enfinger, seventh. Austin Wayne Self, eighth. Ninth, Ryan Truex. Austin Hill, tenth. All righty. Anybody looking for the ladies? Haley Deegan, 31st. 27th, Jennifer Jo Cobb. Is that the only ladies we had in the field this week? I know they were talking about, well, Carson Hocevar isn't a lady, but they were talking about him in the press box there. He won stage one. Huh? Wait. He led once for one lap. Excuse me there. Stage one was won by John Hunter Nemechek. He wound up a bunch of laps down. Must have had some issues. Stage two won by Todd Gilliland. But it didn't matter when Eckes took the checkered flags. That race was 1 hour, 54 minutes. Average speed, 105 mile an hour. Margin of victory, under caution. Eckes with the win. It's the 25th annual Victoria's Voice Foundation. First victory in 2021, and his first victory at Vegas. There were 14 lead changes amongst 11 drivers. That was a good battle going on there, and 10 cautions for 39 laps. No competition cautions, two stage conclusion cautions for 10 laps, so 8 cautions for 29 laps for incidents. Let's check the points because we are in the playoffs. And you get owner's points, why don't you put driver's points? There we go. Driver's points. Ben Rhodes is first. As we're trying to cut it down to the round of four, so he locks in. John Hunter Nemechek is second. Stuart Friesen is third. Crafton fourth. Sheldon Creed fifth. Hocevar sixth. Zane Smith seventh. Chandler Smith eighth. So we're in the round of eight, going down to the round of four, which is in Phoenix for the final four. So that's who's in. Let's check with our winner, Christian Eckes.
Christian, can you hear us?
Yeah, me.
Okay. Yep, I can hear you loud and clear. We are now joined by our race winner, Christian Eckes. And Christian, man, special night for you, special night for your race team. Walk us through your emotions there the last couple laps after that restart when it looked like you were going to take the checkered flag.
Yeah. So I knew we had a shot on that restart. And for whatever reason, our trucks this year, I don't know if I've gotten better at it or what it is, but our restarts have been stellar. We've gone forward on every one. So the last one, all we had to do was go forward one spot. And we were able to do that. The 16 gave me a great push. My teammate, 99, gave me a good push too. That curb breaker fender was really damn good. So I'm just really proud of my whole team. This is a brand new truck we brought here, complete redesign, and obviously it paid pretty well, meaning how we finished 1, 2, 3, 4. My crew chief J-Rod's first win, my first win. Great night.
Fantastic. We're going to go ahead and open up the floor for questions. If you do have a question for Christian, go ahead and raise your hand in the participants queue, and we will call on you. Questions. We're going to start with Bob Pockers. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Christian, just can you describe the season? I mean, it's been difficult to get kind of any sort of momentum or any sort of, you know, building on one race to another.
Yeah, it's been tough for sure. I think this is my 9th start of the year. It's been tough not being able to build with the team. You know, obviously Grant's been in the truck and done a great job, which has helped us a lot. But for me personally, you know, not being in the truck has definitely, you know, caused a little bit of detriment to myself. But, I worked really hard this week. You know, we know who won last week. It's my old truck, and you know, I wanted to go prove to everybody I can still do this. So, we did a good job today.
There you have it, Christian Eckes, talking about the win. All righty, let's get to the Xfinity Series. Josh Burry filling in for Michael Annett. Not in the playoffs. In the one car for Junior Motorsports. Started 15th and wound up beating his two teammates, Justin Allgaier and Noah Gragson. It was pretty amazing to watch. Somebody who hasn't had that many starts this year and wind up taking the checkered flag during the playoffs. I mean, it's a playoff team. And beating his teammates or battling it out to move into the round of eight. I mean, this is the first race of the playoffs for these guys, so. So he just set the tone a little bit, so. Allgaier and Gragson are going to have to battle it out again. Out of the 22 of Austin Cindric, who started on the pole, was fourth. Daniel Hemric was fifth. Brandon Jones, sixth. A.J. Allmendinger, seventh. Ty Dillon, eighth. Justin Haley, ninth. And Harrison Burton rounds out your top 10. Race took 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 28 seconds. Average speed, 123.5. Margin of victory, 4.39 seconds. This is – Berry's second NASCAR Xfinity Series win. Also, his second one this year. Six cautions for 32 laps. We did have a competition and two stage conclusions. And there were 13 lead changes amongst seven drivers. So let me go get some points. Give you a... Here we go. Austin Cindric leads the points. AJ Allmendinger second. Justin Allgaier third. Noah Gragson fourth. Daniel Hemric fifth. Justin Haley sixth. Harrison Burton seventh. Brandon Jones eighth. Myatt Snyder ninth. And Jeb Burton 10th, Riley Herbst 11th, and Jeremy Clements rounds out the top 12 in round one of the playoffs. So, being Michael Annette was 15th and not in the playoffs, he doesn't lock into the next round. He doesn't have any wins. Josh Berry, who's 17th and a rookie, has two wins in the one car. The same car. And they did say he landed a full-time ride next year with Junior Motorsports. Right from Dale Jr. himself, so. So Burry in 20 starts has two wins. Kind of weird, though. They don't have a car number next to Michael Annette because he's not in it right now. But anyway, let's hear what Mr. Burry had to say about his win. I love waiting for them. They don't edit this properly, I think. That's not hard if they're using the right software.
It's been quite a learning curve. But first and foremost, and
gosh, I mean, about 11.
Come on, I'm trying to find a starting point here so we all don't have to go through it.
But you went on a mile and a half in a...
All right. Well, I'll just talk through it, and I'll cue up the stats for the Cup Series, the main event. Again, round one of the round of eight. Who locks in to the round of four? We just wait and see. There we go. We're starting to get some people. Come on, guys.
Hey, Josh, can you hear us?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Doing really well. Good to see you again. And we are now joined by tonight's winner of the ALSCO Uniforms 302 here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and that is none other than Josh Berry. Josh, I mean, about 11 months ago, you and I were talking to the media after you win your Advanced Auto Parts Weekly National Championship, and then Junior tells you you're going to get an Xfinity ride for this year. Now, you're not only a two-time winner of the Xfinity Series, but you went on a mile and a half in a dominant style. Walk us through, you know, your emotions at this point, then.
Man, yeah, I don't really know how to feel right away. You know, first of all, I'm just so proud of this one team. You know, they've been through a lot this year, and you know, I'm so thankful that them and everybody at JRM, Michael Annette, all of his group, you know, Pilot Flying J, TNC, everybody that's a part of this program, trusted me to drive it, you know, first and foremost. And, you know, really every race that I've ran for this group, I thought we've had really good cars. We had a, you know, exceptional race going at Michigan, and it just kind of went away from us at the end. So, you know, the mile and a half has been tough for me this year. You know, it's been quite a learning curve, but We nailed it tonight, and you know, they were confident in you know how we would be at the end of the race. They felt like we were positioned to be really good at the end, and I just trusted that. You know, worked on the bottom, just try to be more disciplined and work on the car, and it just came alive the last 35 laps.
That's awesome. Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. Our first question is going to come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Bob Pockers.
Yeah, Josh, did you have a decision on whether to go to Martinsville or not, or did Jeremiah Schwartz just say, hey, you're going to Vegas, and that's that?
So it was kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of a set of events. You know, originally, JRM and myself, decided that, you know, we wanted me to participate in the Valley Star 300 at Martinsville. You know, that's why I wasn't in the truck race last night. We kind of made some plans according to that, and the Rackley work group had to adjust to that. Just Michael's re-injury of his leg at Bristol just changed that. I mean, without a doubt, they wanted me here. The one group, you know, they wanted me in the car, and, you know, it was really no question outside of that. Obviously, I'd have loved to have been able to run Martinsville, but, you know, I'm gearing up for a full-time opportunity next year, and, I think it worked out.
There you have your winner, Josh Berry, filling in better than capably. I mean, you take the win for Michael Annette, who re-injured his leg at Martinsville. At Bristol, I mean, which was not too long ago. Anyway, the Cup Series takes on round one of the round of 12. So who's going to lock into the round of 8? Well, that decision was made by the 11 car of Denny Hamlin, taking the win, winning stage 2 as well. So he led better part 7 times for 137 laps out of 267. That's pretty dominant when you lead half the race. The second biggest lap leader was Kyle Larson, who started from the pole and won stage 1. So it came down to those two. So we'll see if Larson can gather the win next week and lock himself into the round of 8. I don't see why not. Plus, he's got a lot of playoff points. So if it came down to points, Larson is in no matter what. Just face it, only 3 guys can win, and the rest are in points. Anyway, Chase Elliott came home second. Kyle Busch was third. Martin Truex was fourth. Ryan Blaney, fifth. Tyler Reddick, sixth. Brad Keselowski, seventh. Kurt Busch, eighth. Harvick, ninth. Kyle Larson, tenth. And the only other playoff people in there is William Byron in 18th. Joey Logano is 11th, and Alex Bowman and Christopher Bell, 22nd and 24th. Not helping their cause there. Race took 2 hours, 46 minutes. Average speed, 144 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.442 seconds. 4 cautions for 21 laps. And 21 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. How does that happen with Denny Hamlin leading 137 laps? Anyway, that's what you have there. So here's the points. Kyle Larson leads the points, but Hamlin's locked in. 60 playoff points to 30. Kyle Busch is third. Martin Truex, fourth. Ryan Blaney, fifth. Chase Elliott, sixth. Joey Logano, seventh. Brad Keselowski, eighth. William Byron, ninth. Kevin Harvick, tenth. And then Alex Bowman, 11th. And Christopher Bell are your playoff contenders. The ones on the bubble, Byron, Harvick, Bowman, and Alex. And with the round of 8 coming up in 2 weeks, or 2 races to go, so we'll just have to see. Anyway, let's get to our winner, Denny Hamlin, and see what he has to say.
All right. We have now been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Chris Gabehart. Chris, can you hear us okay?
I can, yes.
All right. Congratulations on that victory. We appreciate you spending some time with us. We're going to get to as many questions as we can in the time that we have with you. So to kick us off, we're going to go to Kelly Crane. Kelly, with your question.
We just won Las Vegas. I got all night. Las Vegas on.
That's a fair point. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. Congratulations. It sounds like Denny was pointing to this race a year ago where you guys hit on something. He had said he'd been so close before and just never got the right brakes, but it sounds like he also hit on something with the car. Can you share any insight into what it was that was different that you guys brought back this time around?
Yeah, we definitely did. Vegas, you know, reaching back to the spring race in 2020 was really kind of the last track that he and I had to hit on together. I just hadn't found exactly what we needed. And, you know, it was definitely a struggle for us, you know, excluding like Charlotte Road Course, those kind of things. It was kind of the meat and potato tracks. It was the last one that we just hadn't got a hold of. And then we come back in the fall with a game plan and, you know, really worked on certain areas of simulation and things that I just really felt like we needed to be good at to be good here. And it panned out. And since then, and, you know, it's been our North Star. I mean, you know, with Denny and I and this race team at every track, once we lock in on what it is that we need, we've been really fortunate to be able to duplicate that for the most part, and now it's been no different at Vegas.
Well, there you have Denny's crew chief. Denny's probably still getting his stuff together from Victory Lane down to the, I guess, the truck. I don't know, they're virtual or what. It sounds like that. Anyway, all three series in action this weekend at Talladega. So anything can happen. Anything. We're going to have the big one. Always have the big one at Talladega and Daytona. So we'll see how it goes there. I haven't made picks this year, so I'm not going to bother. I've been wrong just about every week. So anyway, that's our show for tonight. Hope you all have a good week. We'll see you next week right here on blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. I'm Vinny B. Good day and good racing. Bye now.